From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of October 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, China says a trade war is on the horizon if the United States tries to force Beijing to allow its currency to float. The House of Representatives this week will take up four trade-related bills. And the administrator of the U.S. FDA says her agency is underfunded. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and I'll tell you how to get more out of a charitable contribution of agricultural commodities by giving over when and how they're sold. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. December contract for the soft red winter wheat, $6.11.5 on the last trade settlement price. Up four. March futures, 647 and three quarters, 3 3/4 higher. In May, wheat at $6.71.5, 3. July, $6.83 for the harvest month, 2 cents higher. December corn futures, $6.05, up a nickel today. March, 617.5, 4 3/4 higher. May at 624 3/4, up 4.5. July, up 5 cents at $6.29 1/4. And December corn of next year at $5.72 1/4. Up 4 1/4 cents. November beans, $11.77.5, 19 1/4 higher. January futures, $11.88 3/4, up 18 3/4. March at $11.97 3/4, up 18.5. And the May at $12.05, up 18 1/4. July futures for the beans at $12.13.5, 18 1/4 higher. November at $11.91 1/4, up 16 1/4. October bean meal at $304.70, 4.60 higher. October bean oil at $49.86. Up 79 cents. Live cattle futures at $120.35 in the December, down $1.50 today. And November feeders at $143.12.5 finished 77.5 cents higher. October lean hogs at $93.02.5, down $1.65. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract, $85.33 a barrel, up $2.35. Ethanol at $2.52, that's 3 2/10 higher. Natural gas at $3.55 1/10, up 0.7 cents. Heating oil at $2.90, up $4.02. And that's diesel fuel. Gold futures, $1,669.60 an ounce, up $35.10. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,374, a gain today, up 271 points. The dollar at 77.56, down 1.16. The CRB index at 308.66, a gain of 5.14 points for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the Columbus Day, mostly sunny, a high of 82 yet in Urbana-Champaign area with a south wind at about 8 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 55 degrees, south-southeast winds at about 6 miles an hour. And on Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high of 81 degrees, south-southeast winds at 5 to 7 miles an hour. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 54. Wednesday, a 40% chance of showers and a high of 75. Wednesday night, showers and thunderstorms likely. Mostly cloudy, a low of 55. The chance of precip on Wednesday night set at 60%. The chance of showers for Thursday, mostly cloudy, a high of 67. The precip chance drops to 50%. And Thursday night, partly cloudy finally, a low of 49 degrees. And Friday, mostly sunny and breezy, a high of just 63. Friday night clear, a low of 45. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 65. Saturday night, mostly clear and 49. And on Sunday, we should see sunny skies, a high near 69 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, to take up the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon and happy Columbus Day.
Happy Columbus Day to you. Just 2 days away now from USDA's WASDE and crop production reports. This was that time of year last year that we had a lot of fun. We had dropped the marketplace based off of the stocks report just a few days earlier. And then last year, we changed direction with the WASDE numbers and the crop production report. What's the possibility it'll all happen again this year?
Well, the market's set up for some positive price action. We've sold off $2 in corn and over $3 in the soybean complex. So we've fairly well liquidated a bunch of long positions and moved down to some levels here where we could stimulate some end-user pricing. As far as the numbers go, analysts have taken the stocks number and plugged it into the supply-demand report. They've adjusted their acreage number, their yield estimates, and when it's all said and done, we kind of look for bean carryout to come in close to this 230 million bushel area, and corn to carry out close to about 930 million bushels, which is not a real burdensome amount of grain to have on hand as we project on out. With the market going lower here, it should stimulate some more demand interest. And plus, too, talking to some of the end users and some of these elevators and so forth, it seems that breaks in here should be bought here to get some coverage on as we go into the first quarter of 2012. Technically, we're trying to move the momentum indicators up. The short-term traders have flashed some buy signals in here. If we can build on this rally here and get some positive fundamental news Wednesday morning, we could be in a position here to try to carve out a 50% retracement back up to the highs we made here at the end of August there, Todd.
Columbus Day holiday today has backed up one USDA report. That's the weekly crop progress and weather report. It'll be due out tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock Central Time. Expectations there for it to show corn how far harvested and soybeans too.
Well, we had a big week this last week, and I think we're going to see this corn harvest in this 35% complete area. I believe bean harvest is going to be up in this mid 40% area. The weather's been just ideal here. Western belt slowed down here due to some rain here over the weekend. We're forecasted to have some moisture here midweek, but I don't think it's going to be a whole big amount to really slow things down. So we look for harvest progress to continue to advance at a rapid pace here.
Will that keep a cap because it's less than 50% done on any gains in the corn market and the beans for that matter?
I think it's going to keep a little selling above the market from the standpoint that some producers are being pleasantly surprised with some yields and willing to be sellers here on some strength, especially in strong basis areas, willing to move the cash and look at some type of replacement strategy on paper here. But it's definitely going to keep some selling paper in there, and I think that's what happened here today. We saw corn, open strong, up 18, 19 cents early. Same thing on the beans. They were strong and finished back towards the lower of the day session lows here on some long liquidation and a little bit of hedge pressure.
I know the WASDE report of World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates are due out on Wednesday morning, and that will be the defining report, at least for a moment or two. But can you step back for me and fundamentally think about the world and tell me what it is that are the most important factors at this point? Is it the Chinese corn crop? Is it export demand for corn? Is it ethanol domestic usage? And you can say all of the above, but it can kind of give me an idea of the things that are changing and are different than they have been in the last 6 to 7 months.
Well, I think probably two categories stick out in our mind here is one, definitely the Chinese corn production number. You know, there's still been more talk here in the last 2 to 3 months of additional corn interest to Asia there. Hopefully it will be some from the U.S., but a lot of talk is they're wanting to get it out of the southern hemisphere as we move into next spring. The thing on the Chinese numbers is, one is the corn market in China remains sharply, sharply higher. You know, how does corn prices remain higher when they're predicting a record corn production number? So there's a lot of things to watch there on these Chinese numbers. If that's the case, they're going to have to come to the world market here to satisfy those needs. If there's any shortfall, if they've got their corn crop overestimated, you know, that's something to watch too. So as we move on into this winter here, I think the Chinese corn numbers are going to be very important. Then secondly, the world feed wheat numbers. We saw a lot of substitution from corn to wheat, and I think it would be prudent to sort of stay on top on how much drawdown we've seen the world stocks due to world feed wheat usage.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about the corn numbers out of China, you're talking about the futures trade at what, the Dalian? Is that the right word? I've forgotten what the futures trade, but you're watching that on a fairly regular basis, and those numbers remain high.
Compared to our corn, yeah, they basically, when you take our price, transportation, you know, that's why it's so much higher. And, you know, their corn values have been, they were up over $10 here before this last break.
All right. Thank you much. And we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good.
Kurt Kimball is with Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. You can always hear him again in a couple of ways. Visit our website, willag.org, our mobile phone website at m.willag.org. You'll find some news from the ACES folks, including Farm Doc and Crop Sciences there. Or you can dial this number, 217-333-3434. It's all part of the service from WILL and Illinois Public Media, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, China warned of a trade war today and said U.S. jobs growth would suffer if the United States enacts a law to try to force Beijing to allow its currency to rise, ratcheting up its rhetoric a day before lawmakers head toward a final Senate vote. China's vice foreign minister reiterated Beijing's opposition to the bill and said it could hurt ties and hinder the global economic recovery. China's central bank, commerce ministry, and foreign ministry last week jointly warned that enactment of the proposed currency law could lead to a trade war between the world's two largest economies. The House this week will begin consideration of four trade-related measures scheduled to be debated under one rule. Three are free trade agreements: the U.S.-Colombia Free Trade Agreement, the U.S.-Panama Free Trade Agreement, and the U.S.-South Korea Free Trade Agreement. The fourth bill, Senate Amendment to House Resolution 2832, contains a reauthorization of the Trade Adjustment Assistance, or TAA, program. A bipartisan agreement was recently reached to renew elements of the program. The House will debate the floor rule on October 11th and the trade bills on October 12th. The FDA's top administrator says her agency's food safety budget is underfunded, and she worries about the possible impacts of more cuts. FDA Commissioner Margaret Hamburg says that her agency's food inspection function, which covers roughly 80% of the food supply, has historically been underfunded, and the agency needs more money to implement the Food Safety Modernization Act, a new law that is supposed to make the foods under FDA's mandate safer. Food safety is a growing topic as the FDA copes with a listeria outbreak from cantaloupes that has killed 18 people. The U.S. futures regulator may break with other agencies on a much-anticipated plan to ban most proprietary trading by banks and could opt to put forth a slightly different version of the Volcker Rule. Gary Gensler, the head of the CFTC, is taking a wait-and-see approach to the rule, a key provision in last year's Dodd-Frank oversight law that would prohibit banks from trading for their own profit in securities, derivatives, and certain other financial instruments. It also would prohibit banks from investing in or sponsoring hedge funds or private equity funds. Both the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and the SEC are scheduled to vote next week on the Volcker Rule. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up next, farmers in the midst of the harvest season might consider making a charitable contribution of grain. I'll have more on how that might be easier said than done with agricultural commodities, but that a little paperwork can reap some really great rewards.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It would be nice if making a charitable contribution was as easy, says University of Illinois tax specialist Gary Hoff, as delivering grain to the elevator and asking them to make the checkout to the local church.
And it's not even quite that simple. Okay? If you just deliver grain, say, hey, make X thousand dollars about to Y church, IRS can take the argument you had constructive receipt of that money, and therefore it's taxable to you, and you gave them cash. So to protect your deduction, first thing you need to do is to send a letter, so you have it documented in writing, to that charity that you have 5,000 bushels of number two yellow corn that you're contributing to them. And could they please tell you when they would like for you to market that and where they would like to market it and that you currently have it stored in your bin? You get a letter back from them. That letter may say, market it at your convenience, wherever you would like. Or it may say, you know, let's hold it for 30 days, whatever that case may be. In IRS speak, you've now given up dominion and control of that grain. Okay, it's the charity's grain, it's not yours. Anything that happens after that, such as the sale of it, all impacts them. And since that charity isn't paying income tax, they would have no tax liability on the sale. So what it really does is it allows you, if you want, to increase the amount of the donation because you're not paying income tax on that money that you're donating to them. A couple of other things that you need to be aware of. This works for farm operators. It works for materially participating landlords where they're getting share crop. But if you're materially participating, then you need to be paying self-employment tax on that farm operation. If you're not, if you're a straight crop share landlord, cash rent landlord, then IRS is going to require you to report the value of that grain you gifted as income and take your tax deduction on Schedule A.
Gary Hoff is a tax specialist at the University of Illinois. You can read more on making a charitable contribution of grain and or other agricultural commodities on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Michael Yeoman at the Andersons joins us to take a look at what's been happening there. He's right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Hi, Todd.
Your maiden voyage, so to speak, for the day. Tell me about yourself and where you came from.
I'm originally from a farm near Armstrong, Illinois. I went to school at the University of Illinois. I graduated in May.
You answered the phone, Michael, but do you go by Mike or Michael?
Michael.
All right. Thank you so much. Yep. Tell me about what's been happening at the Andersons, please.
Today we're a little bit higher. We're up 5 on corn and up 19 and a quarter on beans. The Chinese came back and had a currency adjustment overnight and just kind of had the markets higher all day and the dollar was lower.
Well, what does a currency adjustment mean?
Basically, the rate to the Chinese to the U.S. dollar.
Their currency adjustment.
Yes,
I thought you said
adjustment.
Courtesy adjustment.
Currency adjustment.
Currency adjustment. Okay, so I've got that figured out. All right, so in the area, you're taking in more corn or soybeans or both?
I think we're starting to dwindle down on soybeans. I'd say we were about 80% harvested on beans, about 40% done on corn. And I think this week, majority of guys will be switching to corn as moisture levels are starting to come down out of the field.
And tell me what you think producers have thought about their bean crop. You've got 80% of it in.
Seems like a lot of it is coming better than expected, anywhere between high 50s to 60s.
And the corn crop, we're getting a good start on it, so you probably have a decent feel for it, too.
Yep. I think from the heat that we had this summer, I think corn's coming in better than expected, too. I mean, just for what we were expecting, a lot of it's probably around 150 to 160 average.
Yeah, it's better than the 145 they were thinking about just
exactly.
A month ago. All right, so producers then have more grain than they expected, and they may be making some new sales or just feeling better about the sales they already
correct.
Have,
and
which is the case.
Especially before Wednesday's USDA report, if guys are having better than expected yields, it's not a bad time to make some catch-up sales.
You think so?
Yep.
All right, why?
You never know what the government's going to throw at us. I mean, we had a lower report on September 30th, and we're expecting a yield adjustment maybe to the higher side on corn. Corn and beans for this report, maybe lower harvested acres, though.
Yeah, it looks like we will get a little rainfall, not enough to keep them out of the market or out of the field for very long. What's your expectation for how much longer you think harvest will happen here in our part of the world?
Oh, I'd say we've probably got a couple more solid weeks left, and then start to slow down from there with corn.
And your bids for the day?
We are at $6.05 for the first half October on corn, last half and November's at $6. On beans, we are $11.54, which is 23 under for fall delivery. Cash wheat's at $5.61.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thanks, Todd.
You have a great day.
You
Michael Yeoman is with the Andersons right here in Urbana-Champaign in Champaign County. He joins us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. For some of our radio stations, we'll say so long. And now, for the rest of you, stay with us, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy, high above the Chicago skyline on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building.
It's National Angel Food Cake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1796, marks the traditional date for the creation of the metric system. In 1817, Christophorus Ballot was born. A Dutch meteorologist, he was among the first to observe that the wind blows at right angles to the atmospheric pressure gradient. In 1892, Earl Dixon was born. He invented Band-Aids for his wife, who had frequent kitchen accidents, cutting or burning herself. He worked as a buyer for Johnson & Johnson, who soon began manufacturing his idea. In 1913, a dike was blown up by the U.S. engineers to complete the final stage of the Panama Canal, and the waters of the Pacific met the waters of the Atlantic. By the way, President Woodrow Wilson signaled the explosion, pressing a button in the White House, which sent a telegraph signal to Panama to trigger the dynamite charge. In 1929, Elijah McCoy died, a Canadian-born American inventor. He held a number of patents for the automatic lubrication of machinery, especially steam engines used in factories, railway locomotives, and ocean ships. And in 1933, Waldo L. Seaman received a patent on a method for making plasticized PVC, now known as vinyl. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday, Columbus Day. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. John, please start out in the Southwest. Tell me whether they have gotten rainfall to alleviate part of their drought problem in the hard red winter wheat growing regions.
Well, I think that there's two ways to look at that, is that short-term reserves and then long-term reserves. Certainly with the kind of rains they had over the past 4 days, that does alleviate the short-term concerns. In other words, you had a significant increase in the topsoil moisture levels across those areas, and that will allow for a much better situation for germination and emergence of the winter wheat as it continues to be planted. From a longer-term perspective, it certainly doesn't make up those deficits, which started accumulating about a year ago. To make up those deficits, you're going to need many, many months of heavy rainfall across those regions to begin to raise subsoil moisture deficits, irrigation supplies, river levels, and also reservoir levels across those locales. So, yes, a major improvement in the short-term situation out across the plains, but they have a long ways to go before they make up that long-term issues.
And this next question is a broad one, but could you give me an assessment across the northern hemisphere of the start to the hard red winter sowing season and what that crop looks like at this point?
I think the key thing right now is an improving situation. I think that would be the key word of note. You're improving here across areas of the U.S. with the rains that we've had, and you know, good situation across the soft red winter wheat belt. Over in Europe and in areas of the Ukraine, the overall situation there has somewhat been in improving mode as well. And so really across the northern hemisphere, it's an improving mode here as we've gone through October.
And then turn your attention to the Chinese corn crop. Harvest mode is happening there, too.
It is, and we've seen some delays overall across the Chinese area with across that region, and kind of overall right now, nothing that's going to cause any kind of huge delays, but kind of a normal type of a pattern there with the rain systems going through, but interspersed by periods of fair, dry weather.
The National Weather Services tells us midweek we may have a rainfall. Do you agree, and how much of a slowdown will that be for harvest in the Midwest?
There will be a rain system moving through as a cold front pushes from west to east across the Midwest. Does not look like a heavy rain event, and with the fact that we have pretty dry soils across a lot of areas, that should percolate into the soil quite readily. So some short-term delays for, two or three days, and then after that, it looks like another dry stretch coming through.
Magnificent. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report to wrap up this Monday edition. Thanks so much for listening. You can always do that again if you'd like on our website at WILLAG.org or on the mobile website at m.willag.org. Be safe during the harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.
C Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.